Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Greg Harris, and I'm part of the ministry team here. It's my pleasure to be able to speak with you and to share with you this morning, and to also start by saying, Christ is risen. I love saying that. If you're with us for the first time this morning, or if you've skipped a couple of weeks, basically we have come to the last in what is called Jesus the Game Changer series. So during basically the last 6 weeks, we've been looking at how Jesus is the game changer. In many ways, much of what we take for granted in our Western world, what you might say the very air that we breathe, is very different, radically different to the time of Jesus. And you can trace a lot of what has changed back to Jesus and the people of faith who followed him. So, for instance, we've looked at over the last couple of weeks how the idea of equality of all people can be traced back through Christian understanding. That leadership should be humble servant leadership, not dictatorial type leadership. We've looked at how care and education and a number of topics, when you think about it and look back, you can see how these huge extremes from, say, the day of Jesus and then before that to what we have today, brought about by, influenced by Jesus himself and the people of faith who have followed. Now today, we finish this series with what you could consider one of the most radical aspects in which Jesus has changed the game. It's something that he taught and commanded his people to have and to follow. And it's tied to the Easter story. I wonder, though, even though it might be the most radical, if we've become a bit blasé about it. I say that because I wonder if we've failed to realise how important it is, how essential it is, in fact, how costly it is, how much we need it, how much we must do it. And what is this radical idea? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a game-changing attribute that Jesus brought about. I say I wonder if we've become a little bit blasé about it, because how many times have we said the Lord's Prayer? Like, actually, how many times have we said the Lord's Prayer? That would be an interesting number, wouldn't it? How many times have you said the Lord's Prayer and said, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us? And how many times have we stopped and thought about that line? Forgive us our sins. And then the sentence continues, doesn't it? As we forgive those who sin against us. So what is forgiveness? Well, I actually wonder if forgiveness can be one of the most easily misunderstood concepts. I say that because often people think, and this is not what forgiveness is, by the way, sometimes people think, oh, when someone hurts you, when someone is mean towards you, when someone bullies you, you're meant to say, oh, it doesn't matter, it's okay. That's not forgiveness. That's not right. That's not forgiveness at all. It does matter when someone hurts you, when someone bullies you, when someone causes great pain. It does matter. It's not okay. In some senses, it might actually be criminal and needs to be dealt with. Actions have consequences. And we're going to look at that in just a few moments. So what does forgiveness mean? Well, it has a lot in common with what I saw yesterday. Yesterday I was down the street for part of, you know, the sort of the Easter celebrations, and at one stage I was sitting on the hill up near the Poppet Head near Rosie Park, and I was sitting there with my family and we were just sitting and waiting for something to happen, and all I could see, one after the other, every 10 to 20 seconds were balloons being let go. Kids who had helium balloons who had let go. You know, parents who hadn't tied them to their wrists or something like that. But and one after the other, these balloons going. Forgiveness is like that balloon. It means letting go. In fact, the Greek gives the impression, that's what the original Greek means, to let go of the bitterness, to let go of the need for revenge, to let go of the grudge. People's actions still have consequences, But that is always a given. The rule of law may even have to deal with it. But it means to let go. For those of you who have been watching the video series along with us each week, you would have seen in this last week two very powerful stories in the Jesus the Game Changer video. If you miss them, I can't go over all of it now because it's just not the time and I couldn't do it justice, but it is being shown again tonight, so you've got one last chance to see it tonight. But in one of them, there's a powerful story of a man who, when he was 15 years of age and was part of a gang in America, was shot by another kid in the back with an assault weapon and was paralysed. And how he had to learn what forgiveness then meant, and how he continues to learn what forgiveness means. And there's another story by a well-known theologian, Miroslav Volf, whose brother died due to neglect caused by the Yugoslavian soldiers just a few decades ago, and how his parents and himself learned and had to practice forgiveness. They had to let go, as it were. Was it all right? Did it not matter that this kid was shot in the back and that this other kid died at the hands of neglect by the Yugoslavian soldiers? Of course it mattered. You know, actions have consequences, and consequences were paid. But there was need of forgiveness as well. In fact, if we were students of history, and it's good to be students of history, all through civilised history, we'd see this idea of forgiveness is actually quite foreign. If you go back to the ancient Greeks, if you go back to the Roman period, if you go back to the time of Jesus, forgiveness was foreign then. In fact, you see it in how the disciples are having to wrestle with it for the first time. Jesus goes around telling them all that they need to, you know, not just love their neighbour but love their enemy, and need to pray for them and forgive them. And Peter's trying to work that out. Okay, I've got to forgive them. Okay, I can go with that for a little bit. So he comes up to Jesus and said, okay, Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive them? And then you have that very famous passage, don't you, where, you know, Peter says, Jesus, do I have to forgive them 7 times? Which sounds very impressive, actually. And Jesus says, no, 7 times 70. And I'm sure Peter was trying to do the maths and work it out, thinking that's an awfully big number. And that's the point. It's meant to be a big number. It's meant to be an attitude, as Martin Luther King once said. But even in today's society, forgiveness can be foreign and radical. Too often we hear the idea of don't get angry, get even. And sometimes you'll see on a news broadcast when maybe there's a family outside a courthouse and there's been a trial for the person who has possibly even killed their loved one. And you hear in their voices the pain, but sometimes you also hear, if you listen carefully, the need for revenge. You know, it's often wrapped up in the language of justice. We want justice, but often actually if you dig a bit deeper, no, it's revenge. They want the person to suffer in the same way their loved one suffered. It's a really radical idea to forgive. And then that's where it actually gets quite personal. We need to forgive those who have wronged us. Yes, there will be justice, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. Actions do have consequences. But forgiveness is letting go of the bitterness and the rage and the need for revenge that will eat us up. We need to hand it over. In many ways, the person might be handed over to the criminal system if it is that sort of situation, but ultimately, we hand it over to the Lord. Because there will be a day of justice. There will be a day when every pain and every hurt is dealt with. Miroslav Volf puts it, our forgiveness of others is meant to be an echo of the forgiveness that has been shown to us. The forgiveness that has been shown to us is to be echoed in as we forgive others. Sometimes muted, sometimes garbled, but nonetheless an echo. which is why it is so appropriate that we look at this idea of forgiveness on Easter and on Easter Sunday, because it's on Easter and at Easter that we understand the forgiveness that has been shown to us and the forgiveness that has been won for us. It's only possible that we can forgive others and be forgiven ourselves because of Easter. That's why it's one of the most radical things, that we need forgiveness. In fact, that's the radical part, isn't it? We need it. We need forgiveness. Each one of us, if we were honest, would want to say, sometimes forcefully, I'm not that bad. Haven't killed anyone. Haven't committed any great crimes. Haven't, you know, blank, you fill in whatever the hurt or wrong or pain is. But even when we say, oh, I'm not that bad, what are we actually saying? We're not perfect. And therefore there is a need for forgiveness. Imagine this DVD is a snapshot of everything you have said and done that other people are aware of. Now, I'm just thinking I might just head up to the multimedia desk at the back and start to play it. Who would be feeling comfortable at this point in time? Let me just sort of also explain that not only is this a DVD of everything that you have said and done that everyone has seen and is aware of, but everything you have said and done that no one saw and that you kept well hidden. And actually, feeling comfortable, by the way? And let me go one step further. What about everything you have ever thought that no one is aware of? The things that you've thought about your family members and about your co-workers and about your neighbours and about the person sitting in front of you in church and the person that you pass in the street. Who would like to go first? Because if I was to show mine, if it was forced upon me, I would be ashamed. I'd be ashamed for you to know the darkness that I'm aware of in my own heart. Does it sound a little dramatic? Yes. But true, very true. I have said and I have thought and I have done things that have been so against God's will. And I failed to do some things that I should have done and said and thought that were against God's will. I've often used this analogy before, but I think it's so appropriate. It's as if I have taken the crown off the King of Kings' head and I have put it on my own head and I have said, I am the master of my own destiny. I am the captain of my own soul. I have taken God's good gifts. I have ignored him at best. I have rejected him at worst. I have usurped the king. And in anyone's books, that's treason. I need forgiveness. And I cannot do it on my own. And I am very sure I am not Robinson Crusoe. As I said earlier, actions have consequences. The consequences of my rebellion is justice. Death came into this world through rebellion. My rebellion, your rebellion, humanity's rebellion. The question I'm often asked is, why doesn't God just, you know, if God is so loving, why doesn't he just forgive everyone, just paper over the whole bit and sort of say, oh, it doesn't matter? Because justice must be done, mustn't it? Justice must be done. When we are hurt, justice must be done. A payment is required. Judgment will occur. If judgment doesn't occur, if justice is not done, then God is not loving. Because that means he doesn't care about those who are hurt and those who wrong others. But because he does care, justice matters, not only to us but to him also. We cry out for justice, and one day it will be served, for it matters to God. The problem is, we want others to receive justice, but we also need to receive justice as well. So on that day, the question needs to be asked, who will pay? Who will pay? You see, I can pay for myself. That is what hell is all about. To be cut off from God forever. I can pay it myself. Or I can allow Jesus to pay the price for me. I can allow him to pay my price. And that's what the cross and the resurrection is all about. That's why we're talking about this at Easter time. For on the cross, Jesus dies in my place. He pays my price. He pays your price. He dies in your place. It's as if he becomes the most sinful person who has ever lived as he takes the sin of the world upon his shoulders, and he takes our place and pays the price as he is cut off from the Father. And he rises again on Easter Sunday to show that the price has been paid in full and there is nothing more owing. That's why we had that reading from Corinthians 1 chapter 15. Now, the context of that reading is that, that sin and rebellion are against what God wants, but through Jesus, sin has been paid for. The earthly death that we die is not eternal. It's not the end. Death came into this world because of sin, but it does not have to have the final say. That's why Paul says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's as if Paul is taunting death. Is that the best you can do? You can kill the body? I know someone who can raise it back up again. For he has defeated you. Where, O death, is your sting? If I can use this phrase that we have heard so many times throughout this series, this is the game-changing moment. This weekend, it's a game-changer for me. For I now can have life and life to the full. Jesus changed my game. And he's a game-changer for each one of us. He freely gives, and we freely need to receive. For me, it was when I was a teenager. And I've always been asked, how do you receive that forgiveness? What does it mean to follow Jesus? And I've always said, you know what? The first four letters of the alphabet are very easy here to help us to understand. How do you follow Jesus? First four letters of the alphabet, I'm assuming I don't need to tell you what the first four letters of the alphabet are. But they stand for something. A stands for accept. We need to accept that we have failed to love God the way that we should. We've even made good things into God things. B is believe. We need to believe that we need to be forgiven and that we, on the cross, Jesus died in our place. That's what we need to believe. We need to accept that we need forgiveness and that Jesus believed that he has paid the price. We then need to C, count the cost. What does that mean? Well, we need to actually ask the question, is that what I want, forgiveness? Is that what I want, eternal life? Because it will mean following Jesus. It will mean, for instance, to use the example of the early disciples, to drop our nets and follow him. To turn back and follow him. This is where people say, oh, what you're saying is it's all about rules and regulations. You're going to tell me all these things I can't do and must do, and there's more things I can't do than I can do. Well, actually, he created us. He knows best. But ultimately, it's about following him. So that's A, B, and C. So after we've accepted that we need forgiveness, after we believe that Jesus had died for us, and after we have counted the cost and said, yes, that's what I want, we then decide to do it. And we need to decide, is today my day? Is today my day? For no matter where you have been and no matter what you have done, Jesus says, come home. And each one of us needs to do that personally. As I said to you a few moments ago, I did it when I was in my late teens, and I need to continue to remember to do it. Each of us in this room, with a room this number, will be in different places. I don't assume anything anymore. I once did assume things, and I found out that I was badly mistaken. I was once in a church, don't worry, you won't know what church it was. And it was a long time ago, and I thought that everyone in the room was a small church. I thought every single one of us were followers of Jesus. And afterwards, over a cup of tea, this person said to me, "I come to this church because my mother came to this church and her grandmother came to this church, so I thought I should continue the tradition." I was glad that she was there so that she could actually hear what I had to say. But I don't assume any of us are anywhere. So if, like me, you are sitting in this room today and you made that decision to follow Jesus some years ago, can I encourage you to say, great, keep going. Keep going. But if you're in this room and you're saying, look, I'm interested, but I'm not ready yet, I would say, keep coming. Keep seeking. Keep asking. If you're here because you say, I only came because my family dragged me along kicking and screaming and I've had the good grace to not kick and scream too loud, I'd say thank you for not kicking and screaming too loud. But I'd also say I'm so glad you're here. And do you realise the reason why your family asked you to come is because they believe God loves you? But if you're here this morning and you think, I need that forgiveness because I know what's on my DVD and I don't want to pay that price. If today is the day, then can I say, great. It can begin with a simple prayer. In fact, in a few moments, I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. And I'm not going to encourage anyone to pray it out loud because it's just between you and God. And the words of this prayer are not magic. If you don't want to pray this prayer now, but you think later on, I want to pray that prayer and you can't remember what the words are, they're not magic words. The prayer is simply a reflection of what's going on in your heart. Okay, the words are just a reflection. That's all they are. So pray whatever words come. But if you think today is the day and I need that forgiveness, you have accepted, believed, counted the cost, and decided today is the day, then why don't you say this prayer with me quietly in your own hearts? And to make it a bit easier, it's going to be up on the screen. And I'm just going to say it one line at a time. And if you're with us and you think, yeah, I've been following Jesus a long time, but I need to continue to recommit myself, then feel free to pray this prayer yourself too, quietly. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you for the death of Jesus on my behalf. I come to you today and say I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for ignoring you in my life. And I ask for your forgiveness. Today, I put my life into your hands. I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit. And I pray for courage to live what I say I believe. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, I encourage you that maybe afterwards you might want to tell someone. You can tell Trev or myself or another member of the ministry team. You can tell the friend that you came with, another Christian friend. But know this, if you prayed that prayer today and you mean it, then God heard it and God answers it. And can I just say, welcome, brother or sister. You have just begun an incredible journey. For the game changer Jesus has just game changed you.